Welcome to V's Table Talk, the podcast in which we have great conversations about business and our economy. My name is Bea Kyle, President and CEO of the St. Paul Area Chamber, and I'm so glad you joined us. I always enjoy these, my chance really to have conversations with leaders among us, doing great things within the community, and also getting to know them as awesome human beings too. So today, my guest is a new friend, chamber member, and a leader within the state and the national business landscape. Amanda Rome is Executive Vice President, Chief Legal and Compliance Officer at Xcel Energy. And she's been with Xcel Energy for over 6 years now, after several years as an attorney, most recently with Fagree Baker Daniels. Amanda has an undergrad from Penn State and her law degree from Georgetown. In 2020, Amanda was recognized by Twin Cities Business Magazine as a notable woman of law. And in 2022, she was named one of the 100 top women in energy. She also was invited to represent the industry at the Penn State President's Roundtable on Energy and Climate. And she currently serves on the Edison Electric Institute's Litigation Advisory Council. She also is an adjunct professor at the University of Minnesota Law School, where she teaches a class on utility law. So Amanda, congratulations for those recognitions, and thank you for sitting down with me today.
Thank you, Bea. It's great to be here.
It's fun to get to know you. You did such a lovely job for us at our annual meeting in 2022, coming up and chatting in front of a herd of people.
Great meeting. So fun to be in person. Oh my gosh, wasn't it?
And people really want to get to know you more. And so this is an opportunity to do that. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? And of course, how did you wind up in Minnesota? Starting with, recently learned tidbit, you were on the board for the Women's Final Four this past month, which had to have been very exciting.
It was. It was so fun. And of course, like always, the Twin Cities and Minnesota kind of showed up for the event. So I'll start with that, and then we can track backward a bit. But you know, I have been in athletics for my entire life, and in fact, I was a collegiate athlete. I played volleyball at Penn State, and so it was a real natural move for me once Xcel Energy came out and wanted to be a big sponsor of the Women's Final Four. You know, that was a natural extension to say, how can I be a part of that and try and really make sure that this women's event is a marquee event and really on par with the other events we've seen come to the Twin Cities. So I was really honored to be able to do that and surrounded by terrific people. And it was a wonderful event, two sellouts at the Target Center, both for the semis and the finals. So it was really great. But tracking back before that, I mean, I'm a Minnesota kid. My mom is from a small town in Southeast Minnesota, Caledonia. She was the oldest of nine on a dairy farm. So I was raised there. My dad's from Blue Earth, and they kind of, these two outstate kids ended up at the University of Minnesota, and kind of the rest is history.
Oh, that's marvelous. And you know, not so many Minnesota kids would go all the way out to Penn State and for that matter, Georgetown. What took you away from Minnesota for college?
Yeah, well, in the first instance, it was volleyball. Uh-huh. So, you know, as a young athlete coming up, I was looking for a program that really was sort of in the mix for the national championship every year. And so I went to Penn State, and my sophomore year, we did in fact win the national championship. And then, you know, I was on the East Coast already. Georgetown's a great law school. So I thought, you know, go a little further east for a while and kind of continue my education, always sort of knowing in the back of my head that I would make my way back to the Midwest, which of course I did.
You know, there is it's not me alone who's saying this, that we install homing chips in each of our Minnesota children such that once we're away for a while, we come home because it calls to you, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And I'm one of four, and all of my siblings at some point were away and came back. So my parents definitely were on that program of installing the chip. They were on
That's very nice. Awesome. Do you have family here? Did you marry?
Yeah. So, actually I grew up in Chaska, primarily Chanhassen, Chaska area. And I married the same guy that I went to my junior and senior high school prom with. And we still live in Chaska. So we're really kind of rooted in the community, of course, have done a lot of things and went outside of Minnesota, but there is something about being here and raising our children here. We have a 8 and a 9-year-old about to be 10. So awesome. Second and fourth grader. So we are in the thick of it with kids, and it's awesome.
That is just fabulous. You know, it's funny. My kids left as well. My son went to Australia for a year, and my daughter went to grad school in Colorado. And I wanted him home for undergrad, but afterwards I needed to go and experience life elsewhere, if for no other reason to appreciate the awesomeness of what we have here and bring new ideas home like you did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a great way to sort of get out there and experience other things. And, you know, you can always come home. So yeah, right. I think I only benefited from the ability to sort of get out other parts of the country, you know, other backgrounds, ideas. And I think that's a strength to be able to do that and come back.
Well, you know, on that note, actually, it's really interesting that you were in private practice for several years before you left to join Xcel Energy. What made you do that transition?
Yeah, it's a great question. And, you know, mine is not sort of a tale of fleeing the big firm that was, you know, that wasn't a good experience. It actually was. You know, I loved my practice. I was a litigator primarily in federal courts. Loved my practice, loved the firm. But what sort of I started realizing as a litigator, that cycle of litigation started at some point in my career to kind of drain me rather than energize me. It wasn't finding it as, you know, connected as sort of to what I want to be doing as it previously had been. And so I kind of had to take a look at that and think, all right, well, yeah, I think I could for sure be partner here, but if I'm not excited about that prospect, I need to rethink kind of my path here. And I realized that really what I was yearning for was a desire to build, like both internally, my expertise and something that, you know, what I'm learning today is going to matter in 6 months, and it's going to matter in 3 years and 5 years and 10 years versus as a litigator, you know, you come in and you have a case and you focus on that case for 6 months or a year or 2 years or however long it lasts. And then you're kind of on to the next thing that might not relate to the previous case that you did. So I wanted to be able to build that kind of expertise and also wanted to be a part of a broader organization that was also building towards something. And I'd done a little bit of work for Xcel while I was in private practice, and it immediately was distinguishable to me from other companies that I'd done work for. And in part that was because they were in the middle, and I would say we're still in the middle of an effort to really redirect not only where the company was going, but where the entire utility and energy industry was going. Mm-hmm. I mean, really thinking about, can we do it a different way? And that way is going to be better for our customers, our communities, the world at large. And that really spoke to me as something that I could grab onto and get really energized about. And that's absolutely been the case.
You know, you exemplify something that I talk about a lot with college students in terms of how to find their path forward. Whatever expertise you have, like you want to be in law, you can take one of two paths. You can be a lawyer doing lawyerly things for a series of clients, a consultant, basically, working in a private practice.
Yeah.
Or you can do your lawyering within a company, which means you invest in the company itself and its values and its vision. So you clearly demonstrate this. You got to find the fit. And maybe it's a season of your life where one works better than the other. But I have heard folks say what you just said before, that I wanted to invest in something that ultimately mattered to me. And sticking with a company with shared values drew you in, which is very exciting. Because, I mean, let's be honest, Xcel Energy is a utility. What's to be sexy and exciting about a utility? Fortune 500 company, how can you find your way to make a difference? So let's talk about that for a second. I find, and I've read, you know, Xcel Energy has an amazing reputation for being a forward-thinking, innovative company, which runs counter to your thinking about an energy company, a utility, as it were. So how are next generation leaders like you thinking about investing in things that matter to you? How are you finding the connection to Xcel? What are you working on that's interesting to you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's just no shortage of opportunity in our space right now. I think it has really shifted from, there was a long period of time where it was just like, you ran your plants and we weren't thinking about these broader social, environmental issues. And that's how it was for many, many years in the utility industry. It is just not the case now. And so what you have is a group of leaders, and I would include myself in that. I would include, you know, our executive committee, which is, you know, the sort of C-suite leadership of Xcel, has turned over in large measure over the last several years. And what you have is, I would say, a group of leaders who are really focused on remaining at the cutting edge and forward thinking edge of the energy industry, the utility industry. So, you know, 10 years ago, more than that, now 20, geez, we made a bet on renewable energy, which now to people seems obvious, right? It seems like, well, of course you did. But I will tell you, at that time, you had a lot of people in the industry saying, you can't do that affordably. You can't do that reliably. Like, you know, so the wind part of that has happened. Now what's next? We're talking about storage. We're talking about solar. We're talking about, you know, how else can we make this transition? And the real push for that is not necessarily, you know, going for change sake, you know, just for change itself. We have customers, including a lot of our kind of chamber members, who are saying, I want affordable, reliable energy. Yes. But I want it done in a sustainable fashion. And so how are you going to help me get there? We believe it's the right thing to do sort of more broadly for the environment and for the state. And we're sort of aligned on the policy goals there. But there is also a big customer pull of this is what we want. This is what we want. So that's a big, I think a big change is also, we have leaders now that are listening to the customer and saying, what do they actually want and how can we be a solution provider? And so it's exciting. It's an exciting place to be and a place to work where you have a bunch of leaders thinking about what's next versus just being happy with the status quo. That is not where we're at as a company. Right.
I don't think anybody has the luxury of that. In fact, companies will continue to grow when you tap into that mentality that you're talking about. And I'm thinking specifically about, I mean, I see Xcel Energy not only thinking strategically, but also amplifying that tactically on the ground. You're partnering with the city of St. Paul on EV opportunities. You're partnering in the community on development projects. Is there a particular pet project you find particularly interesting?
Well, I'm really excited about what we're doing with EVs and fleet, in particular fleet. So you have, you know, everything from, you know, the transportation, public transportation sector, to the city of St. Paul, to other areas saying, you know, how can you help us solve this? And the one thing that utilities do really well, it's, you know, you have all of these amazing people all over the country, all over, you know, whether it's in St. Paul or Silicon Valley, who have great ideas about some innovative thing, right? But you need a company who really understands scale. Nobody understands scale like a utility understands scale. Like, think about the size of our operations. And so what, where I think we really bring a lot of value is you say, great idea. You have the will and the idea to do that. Let us help you actually execute on that and bring it to fruition. Because if we're going to deliver on 1.5 million EVs by 2030 and 100%, you know, carbon free by 2050, scale matters.
Right.
And we are the experts on that.
Boy, that is really powerful. Thank you for that. You know, I'm thinking about you as an individual and as a professional. I'm really interested in, were you talking to a college student right now? What have been some of the key lessons from your career thus far that you've carried with you? They shape how you do your work now, and that you could share with a younger adult or someone just starting in business to help them think about being a professional in business today?
I would say maybe number one is, you know, relationships and relationship building is not kind of a nice to have skill. It's a must have skill. So I think as a young professional, and this is not misplaced energy, but I think it's something that needs to be done in balance and combination with the relationship building. But I think as a young professional, you're really focused on your craft, whatever that is, whether that's engineering, whether that's law, whether that's you're an economist. And so you're trying to really nail down the substance. And like, absolutely, you need the foundation, right? You need to know your stuff. But sometimes I see young professionals doing that to kind of the exclusion of building a relationship within the community, building your, you know, whether that's your kind of professional community, whether that's like within the group that you're working at in the company, outside of that group. Because understand, as you grow into your role and hopefully future roles, those relationships are going to be what drive that success. You can solve a problem faster and more efficiently and probably with a better result by sitting down and talking to the people who, you know, might be around the problem too, rather than kind of figuring out yourself in a room, you know. So building those relationships so you can get things done, so you can manage through conflict that is inevitably going to be there for, you know, hiring and retention. Your ability to build those relationships are going to help in all of those facets of your career. And so don't, you know, think of that as sort of an aside. That is a critical part to being able to move through. The other thing I would say that's related to that is you got to do that in a way that's authentic to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
The way I approach that is different from the way our CFO does and our COO does, because they're different people and we have different personalities. And I think it's okay as a young professional to look and around you and see who's doing it right. Who do I want to kind of emulate? That's good. And that helps you sort of get your footing, but then you have to make it your own. Because pretending and trying to too closely emulate and imitate somebody else's style is never going to be true to you. So find your footing. You can start by emulating, but then find who you are and kind of try and show up in that authentic way. And that takes some time, but it's well worth it because, you know, B, I know you could tell if someone's authentic in the first 2 minutes of meeting them or if they're not. And so you have to find that style that works for you.
I could not agree with what you said more. And I can tell you, I was a real late learner of that. I remember in college, in a psych class, one of the questions on a, you know, know thyself kind of test was, do you believe in who you know versus what you know? And I always went with what you know, because I didn't know how to do relationship building very well. Honestly, it was a real challenge for me. And it's not like one is to the exclusion of others, but I always undervalued the relationship, thinking if I was just working hard enough, that would work. And the truth is, the moment I breathed on the what and started entering into the who and the how is when things really transformed for me, because you're, you know, channeling the power of others and the thinking of others and the relationship. So I absolutely agree. Right. How impactful. So I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. And, you know, like I will tell you, if I'm looking to solve a problem, the other thing I've learned is I can sit in a room and come up with some solution. It is never going to be as good as if I bring other people in, and in particular, the people who are closest to the work, and say, how would you solve this problem? Mm-hmm. You're going to get a different and better answer by doing that.
Fascinating. I'm thinking of shifting gears just a little bit. I'm thinking of a conversation I had with a member last week. We went out for some beverages, and we were talking about the stress I'm seeing on the faces of folks and in the voices of folks, and in the lack of availability. And as we're transitioning to a next normal, as it were, we were just talking about why is it that we're seeing that people are really more stressed than normal. I mean, it's notable and kind of concerning. And what he had said was, he said, well, we've been dealing with a series of black swan events. I'm like, well, I don't know what that means. I didn't know what that phrase was. So I looked it up, and, you know, black swan event is an unpredictable event that's beyond what's normally expected of a situation, kind of like a 100-year flood, you know, potentially severe consequences. So they're really rare, severe impact, and they're one-offs. The challenge for us, as my friend was communicating to me, is that we've had a series of one-offs. We've had you know, the pandemic, and then George Floyd was murdered, and then we had civil unrest, and then the attack on the Capitol, by the way, pandemic round two. And then, you know, the series of things that we've been challenged with has turned these emergency situations into chronic situations, which is creating this really long-term stress. And so I'm interested, again, because you're a large organization, you're in a senior leadership position, you work with people every day. What are you seeing and experiencing, and how are you managing it? Any suggestions?
Well, you know, this is a tough one, and I don't have any kind of magical answer for sure, but we're seeing that same strain. I mean, we're experiencing it. I've experienced it. You are, I'm sure. I mean, I don't know that there's anybody who's been unaffected by that series of events you just worked through. You know, I think part of what we think about and talk about is these are incredibly complex issues. If you think about, let's just take a race and policing, you know, race and education, I don't know, the geopolitical issues in Ukraine that are, and in Russia, and what's going on there. These aren't things that we can solve, maybe at all for some, but let's talk about like race and education, for an example. Those aren't things you can solve by doing one thing. Mm-hmm. So we have to allow ourselves to sort of sit with that discomfort a little bit. There's not an ability for us to do one thing as leaders of Excel or as, you know, members of the chamber to like fix that. Mm-hmm. So what we have to do is kind of break it up into more digestible chunks. What can we do? Mm-hmm. What can we do today? What can we do today to lay the groundwork for tomorrow and 6 months from now and a year from now? So we're building in the right way and towards the right thing. And I was really heartened at the event, you know, the St. Paul Chamber event, to hear the outgoing chair and the incoming chair have diversity, equity, inclusion as kind of an absolute centerpiece of what they're focusing on, because that to me is saying, all right, we have a problem. We're not going to fix it by doing one thing, but we need to do the next right thing. And that will lead to the next right thing, and right. so on. And so I think we have to give ourselves the grace to understand this is going to take some time, but we need to make progress. We can't just say, oh, this is a hard one, like we're not going to do anything about it. But we have to be able to, again, sit with the discomfort that this is going to take some time, and we need to take steps in the right direction. The other thing I would say is, in between those moments of pushing for progress and figuring out what the right step is and executing on that next step, we can give ourselves permission to have fun, to live, right? To sit down with my kids and play Uno while they sort of jabber on about, you know, crazy things, or go golfing with friends, or, you know, go out to lunch with my siblings and have like the weightiest thing we talk about be, you know, the time when my sister tied me to a pole and left me there for 2 hours. You have to have those moments of levity and of fun, because that recharges us to come back to the table and say, okay, we did step one, what's step two? You know, but you need that respite to recharge and get back into the fray. So we need that balance to stay fortified for what I think about as a real journey, and then get after it.
So on that note of balance, I'm going to share something with you that, so when I started this job in 2017, kind of a sophomore now, which is good. I'm not quite new, learning a lot. And whenever I talk to leaders, I talk about balance, because that was outside of my grasp for some time while I was learning a big job. And I wanted to talk to other folks, like, how do you find balance in your life? And one of them, he was really wonderful. He said, you know, balance, it isn't about every day. You've got 2 hours of this and 3 hours of that and everything is wild. Then you have a beautiful 3-course meal at the end of the day and everybody gets their physical fitness in and their wonderful time with their kids and just have a good night's sleep. That isn't real for this particular CEO. What he said was, you know, you have to look at a season and see balance across a season, and that ebbs and flows, whether it's a week of real intense work followed by a more balanced recharging period, such that over that longer, you know, longer cycle, you've got a rhythm that is sustainable. Do you find that for yourself? How do you find balance?
Yeah, you have to look at a large enough of a sort of sample size. Otherwise, it's really difficult, right? Because any given week can be an emergency situation or just, you know, a big project or initiative that's taking you away. And I think the same thing, I mean, if I was grading myself per day as a chief legal and compliance officer, or as a wife, or as a mom, or as a friend, like I need a bigger sample set for that, because, you know, otherwise I'm going to feel bad about myself every single day, you know? And so I completely agree with that person. I think you have to look at it. There's also just seasons of life. Yeah. You know, people ask me like, what do you do for fun? And I laugh, right? Because I have a job that takes a lot of time, and I have an 8 and a 9-year-old. That are really active and need a lot. And that's where we're at, and that's fine. And so I'm not so worried about kind of what are my hobbies and what's my kind of me time and what am I doing for that? It's like, nope, this is the season of life I'm in. And, you know, my relaxation time might be driving my daughter to volleyball practice and getting to chat with her, and that's okay. So I think we also have to give ourselves a little bit of, you know, understanding around where are you at in your life? You know, what are the things that are important to you? And kind of on a broader scale, are you touching those things enough? Mm-hmm. So I think I agree with his framing of it.
Mm. What matters to you, and are you touching it enough? I really appreciate that. Thank you for that. And as you look ahead, you're kind of in the desert years as a mom, right? With the committing to the kids, which is joyful. I have grandkids, and I look at them every day, and I think as I'm with them, I see them on weekends, of course, and I'm trying to be aware when I'm with them so that time doesn't pass and you think, gosh, I'm missing. No, I'm not missing it. I am paying attention. When you think about the you know, whether it's the year ahead, just looking forward, I think it's really important to be hopeful. To your point earlier about does thinking about my career, does that make me feel excited and hopeful? What, as you look ahead now, what are you particularly hopeful about, personal or professionally?
Yeah, well, you know, it's, I would say professionally, what I'm hopeful about is I think our culture, I think we have a really, really strong culture at Xcel Energy, but I think what we're starting to really get even better at is kind of activating our leaders, not just at the top level, but on sort of the levels below, to say, all right, we know we have all these really, really bright people. We know we have this amazing goal of, you know, 100% carbon free by 2050. Like, how can we get in rooms, collaborate, solve this puzzle that no one else has solved yet, but we believe we can do? I mean, so I wake up because I think that that's such a great goal to be shooting for. I wake up in the morning and I'm hopeful about that, and I'm hungry. I'm motivated. It's like, let's get in there and do that. And I'm so motivated. I'm such a team sport person. That's what gives me energy. That's what kind of feeds me in a professional way. And so the idea that I get to sit with a bunch of super smart engineers, accountants, regulatory people, you know, all sorts of marketing, all sorts of people, and we get to solve a problem that's going to matter. It's going to matter for our customers. It's going to matter for the state of Minnesota. It's going to matter for the nation. Like, we can set a framework that is repeatable. So to me, I have so much energy and hope around that. And on a personal level, you kind of talked about it with your grandkids. It's just like, I have these two amazing kids that every day in small ways show me a little bit more about who they are and who they're going to become. That's just like, it's amazing. It's like, I just get to watch these little human beings like come into their own. So how can you not be hopeful as you're watching that? I feel pretty good about the future and what we have in front of us.
Well, I agree with you how those little humans, I mean, oh my goodness, just hopeful in these little bodies. I agree. And I will tell you professionally, I spend a lot of time out in the marketplace working on development projects within the community on priorities across the spectrum. And Xcel is one of the companies that shows up. To your point about you are in it, with the community in ways that continually surprise me in a very positive way. So when I observe companies, large and small, really leaning into community, like we talked about at our annual meeting in February of 2022, the idea that we are community, we're in community, we're doing life together, we're in relationship, that whole message. And it's easy to imagine that a Fortune 500 company whose eyes could be elsewhere really have eyes on community in you know, wherever they're serving. And I have found Excel showing up that way in a way that's been really quite remarkable. So you are an example of that in a really amazing way. So thanks for that perspective. I appreciate that. And I have one final question for you too. So when you're playing volleyball, what position were you? Were you a striker or were you a setter?
I was an outside hitter. So yes, I was an outside hitter. I was the shortest outside hitter in the Big Ten. And so, and athletes have only gotten taller and bigger, but yes, I was an outside hitter.
Yeah. Awesome. I was a setter in high school because I'm very short. So we would have been a great team. Thank you for that.
That's right. You could dish it to me.
That's right. Well, unfortunately we run out of time. I always feel like we come to the end too quickly, but I really wanted to thank you again. More than you know, for chatting with me. Folks will love to hear a little bit more about you. Appreciate both your time and all that Xcel Energy is doing to serve our community. Do you have anything final you wanted to add, Amanda?
No, thank you for the partnership. I mean, I would just say that Minnesota, St. Paul, we're at our best when the business community is strong. And so the partner with the chamber is incredibly important for that reason. I just think about how the chamber connects new businesses and helps existing businesses and, you know, helps identify policies and issues that are sort of around the corner that we need to be thinking about as a business community, because I think, you know, when the business community is strong, that really does sort of raise all ships. And that's what we're wanting to do. We are community-based and we are excited about the opportunity to kind of continue to show up.
Awesome. Thank you for that. And thank you, listeners, for joining us for Bee's Table Talk. Do tune in again for more conversations with leaders like Amanda in the greater MSP region. We get to hear from them on how their companies are growing and investing in the region. So thanks to all of you, and we will see you in the trenches.